You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love, this love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love, this love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love, this love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
You know, I think that this is a kind of the first of its kind book, just because we're in it.
Yeah.
We're telling our stories in it as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot. This is a lot. So just doing this podcast, you know, obviously you can see I've gotten emotional.
You did, Mark. You're going to make me cry.
It touches on a lot of things for families to know about.
It's important stuff, huh? Important stuff.
Very important.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I am your host. And you, my beautiful, beautiful friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA plus families in all of our beautiful identities. And there are so many beautiful identities in our community, and I love each and every one of them. And we're telling all the stories, y'all. We're telling all the stories. Right here, this episode right here is a part two from last week. So if you haven't listened to last week, you're going to have to go back and listen to last week, because it's part one of this very, very rich and beautiful conversation that I had with Lisa the therapist and Dr. Mark Landeris, all about donor conception, how you choose your donor, how you go about, you know, making your family in all the ways, all the things you have to think about, all the things, right? And so this part two, we're going to delve a little bit more into, once you have the kids, how do you parent? How do you parent your donor conceived kids? How do you have these conversations that are very important with your children to make sure that your children are okay, for lack of a better way of saying it? Oh my God, it's such a great conversation. I love both of these individuals. As you saw in the beginning clip, Dr. Mark gets a little teary-eyed at one point. Like, these conversations about our families can be very emotional, you know, because we want our kids to be okay. And we're all doing our best to make sure, because, you know, our kids have interesting origin stories, many of them. And so we are all working so hard, and we all worry. We all waste time, I'm sure, worrying about making sure we're doing it all right when it comes to these out-of-the-box situations, these out-of-the-box families, and when there aren't that many resources out there for us. But there are a couple now, including this here podcast and Lisa and Mark's new book called Building Your Family, The Complete Guide to Donor Conception, which comes out on November 14th. And everybody should get a copy, and you're going to hear a little bit more about why they are experts in this whole field in this here little episode. And before I roll that tape, I don't have much time because I am running late and I have to go pick up my kids from school, but I did want to come on here and just introduce this here episode. And, you know, it's hashtag mom life never ends, never ends. So I'm going to go pick up my kids. I'm going to roll that tape. And don't forget, you can always reach out to me. You can always send in questions or comments or concerns, anything you want. You can call me, you can email me, you can DM me. Call me at 646-470-1840, y'all, and leave a voicemail. And maybe my mom will finally leave the voicemail she keeps saying she's going to. I don't know. Put some juju out there for my mom to send that voicemail so y'all can hear from Mama Sue. Anyway, it's time to roll the tape. Helen, Beulah, Nicole, my lovely assistants, please roll that tape. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Let's go into the open donor ID and your thoughts on it and disclosure and origin stories and all of that. I'm assuming this is in your book, no?
Yes, and we're very proud because we worked on creating the only open donor program in a clinic in the Northeast.
Oh, what does that mean? Yeah. What do you mean? What? What are you talking about?
So back in 2018, 19, on the East Coast, everybody who was offering egg donors, they were all anonymous. And Lisa came, started working for us. And, you know, I, at that point in time, had my kids and thought about this and so on. And we started to poll our donors because we had an internal donor pool and said, are you comfortable being known and meeting who you're donating to? And 95% of them said yes. And to be honest, it was a little bit of a surprise. We thought they wouldn't, but these are 20 somethings and they're like posting everything on Facebook and Instagram anyway. They want to know where their eggs are going to, right?
Yeah.
So we transitioned our program over a period of years to the option for just fully known or what we called identity release, future release. And or you can just meet your donor, not share any contact information, but at least do a Zoom. Mm-hmm. So you can remember what her smile was like or what her laugh was like. So you have that kind of like heart-based thing. And, and, you know, for whatever reason, it was already being done on the West Coast because they're just like, just way cooler than us, us East Coast people.
Obviously.
But we did this at our clinic in Connecticut and now a lot more places are doing it. But I'm really thrilled that Lisa kind of, she gently nudged to make it happen, and we made it happen, and it was a success, and it's appreciated across the board.
I love that.
Thank you.
Also,
thank you.
And that's gently nudged is like the best way to describe Lisa, because I feel like Lisa knows how to gently nudge, and then you do the right thing.
Thank you, Jamie.
Lisa's like in my ear.
Thank you.
I also feel like the known donor route is trending. Like this is the trend we're going in. Like we're getting rid of the anonymous donors across the board. Am I right? Or is that the hope?
It's the hope.
So the American Society of Reproductive Medicine just came out and said, you know, you can't tell anybody they're going to be anonymous because invariably somebody's going to do a DNA test that might be even their cousin, but their cousin's on there. And then, you know, you get 2 degrees of separation. You can find your donor. So every intended parent needs to know that they likely 15, 20 years from now are going to be able to find their donor. But one of the points in our book is like, why are you going to want to go through that search? Mm. Just find them now. Like, meet them now.
Get to know them.
And every donor, sperm donor, egg donor, needs to know that 10, 20 years from now, somebody might knock on your door and want to meet you. And with that, by the way, has come more responsibility within the banks, egg banks, sperm banks, and so on, that there's only so many families that really should come to life from any one particular donor. Because Lisa can speak to this more personally because she's seen these patients that have, you know, 10, 20, 30 half siblings. And that's kind of hard for an 18, 20, 25-year-old to manage and process.
Even a kid who's known from the start that they have a donor, right? Yeah. That can be just a hard pill to swallow, finding that many siblings, regardless of how much you know about it in the beginning, right?
Yeah. But it is difficult to manage. I mean, there's, you know, even in Denmark, they have a governmental group that is assigned to this task of tracking donors. And even within that group, there have been a lot of difficulties because just even recently, it was a private lawsuit. There was a man who continued to donate so many times that there were so many offspring. And some of the women who received their sperm were so upset that they said, this is bad for my children psychologically. This is bad because of consanguinity. You can marry your sibling. There's all sorts of issues here. We really need to stop this. So even in a small country where you think you can control everything and you have a governmental body that is assigned with this task, it's still almost impossible, right? And and I think the best thing the listeners can do is to talk to their kids about it, because if somebody donates, you know, several times on at one sperm bank, there's no way to prevent this person from donating in another sperm bank and donating another. And then, of course, we have hundreds of thousands of frozen embryos in this country. People have a very hard time making a decision about what to do with them. And, you know, we have, you know, we had a live birth from a 30-something-year-old embryo. So we don't know when these children are going to be born, what ages they'll be, if they're going to be the same age as your kids or your grandchildren. And we don't know how many there'll be. So until we can get a better handle on this, we really need to just make sure the kids are educated.
Yes. All right. Let's go in. Let's go into this, because this is, oh my God. You do you see me panicking over here? Like, there are so many things. There are so many things we worry about as queer parents who have donor-conceived children, and but in general. Okay, let's go into this, because I know that there is a lot of controversy, specifically from donor-conceived people who are adults now and who feel really angry, for lack of a better term, at the fact that their donor-conceived was handled. I'm going to butcher what I'm trying to say, but I don't know if you two can speak on that and to get to the point that there's a need for disclosure and for us to talk to our children about the situation.
Well, there's a new study that was just done by someone in our group, the mental health professional group, that echoed previous studies that basically said that children are most unhappy under two circumstances: one, accidental disclosure, and second, late disclosure. And in both of those cases, the children have a lot of difficulties typically and have upset with their parents for not telling them the truth, have upset about their own identity. They don't really understand. They've got to kind of recalibrate who they are in relationship to their parents. So it causes so many, both of those things cause so many problems.
Yeah, it's betrayal.
Many of the children feel betrayed. Some children are able, and I just had someone on my podcast who kind of sees this kind of rationally. She says, well, you know, we can't judge today's disclosures by, you know, principles that we had before, or, you know, we can't really think about it the same way. But most children, I think, who were not told until they were adults or who accidentally discovered this, have some difficulty with it. And that's understandable, but that's changing, fortunately. And I think, you know, in the next generation, we won't see as many of these difficult stories.
I will say I have spoken to a really tiny handful of straight folks who have used donors for their children and who don't tell their children because they don't think that their children are ready to hear it. And I try to stress your method, Lisa, that you taught me the first time you came on the show, the drop the seed. What is it? The drop the seed theory?
Drop the seed.
They are ready as soon as they come out of that womb.
You have to be comfortable with it too, because if you tell them when your kid's 10, 11, or 12, they're going to see you sweat. If you've been telling them all along, they're like, oh, God, shut up, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, I
know
there was a special lady that gave us the egg. Can I go play tetherball? Right.
Exactly. That's literally how
it goes. It has to be just part of your family. And I think, like, just taking a little bit of this kind of nugget, I think that when you're looking for a donor, remember you're having a child that's going to become an adult, right? So you have that responsibility to say, well, this is the way the profile reads, right? This is what they're going to see. You want to talk always fondly about your donor. Right? Things that you liked about them and so on. Because it is that snuffleupagus for your child when they start thinking about it. And then eventually they're going to ask, right? And you want to basically be ready for it. And that's why Lisa recommends a, you know, a family book for your child, like how you came to be, how you came to us, and putting those pieces of puzzles together. I mean, very early on, we created email addresses for our kids. They don't know them, but I'm just always sending them stuff, right?
We did too.
When you start thinking about this, you know, it is, it's the biggest project of your heart.
Yeah.
And they need to know that they are desperately wanted.
Yes.
They are loved.
Yeah.
And this is how they came to your family. And if I can't imagine being 15 and realizing that my mom and my dad, who I love, just one of them's not really my genetic parent. And that is gotta be tough.
They internalize then the shame that had the parents not tell the kids, right? Because I think in a particular instance that I'm thinking of, I know somebody who had to use a donor, but is like, doesn't want anybody else to know. So if you don't want anybody in your immediate sphere to know, adults included, then you can't tell your kids, right? And so then it's just this big secret. And that in with secrets comes shame.
Yeah.
So it's never going to be good.
And children know, right? Children sense it when they're not, their parents are holding something in. They can feel like there's a secret in the household. There's this, you know, elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, and they sense it.
Yeah. So Lisa, can you explain way better than I could the drop the seed theory? Because I think about the drop the seed theory all the time. Every time I am dropping a little nugget about the donor to my kids, I think of you, Lisa, and I'm like, I just dropped a seed.
That's great. Well, you know, Jamie, you have kids. You know that your kids are different now than they were a year ago, than they were 5 years ago. And developmentally, children are going to understand things very differently at different ages, and they have different perspectives on things. And, you know, when they're babies, they don't have abstract reasoning. They can't see things in the same way that we see them. And so if you start, you know, as Mark was saying, right away, even when you're pregnant or even before, and you rehearse so you get comfortable with the story, and then just continue to talk to them about it, it can roll off your tongue and become very matter of fact to them. And then as you drop the seeds, as you continue to talk to them about it over time, whether it's through a book or you're talking about it in metaphor with their toys, or you're talking about it when you're driving somewhere, you have these opportunities to drop these seeds, and eventually they sprout inside the child. The child just gets more and more information, and they get more and more comfortable with it. And then when they want to find out more, if they're curious, they know that their parents are there for them. They know their parents are not going to shy away from the conversation. They know their parents are going to be there and supportive. And also, if they search for donor siblings or for their donor, it's really difficult for a lot of children because they may have this fantasy of who this person is. And the reality may not match up with the fantasy. And I think it's really important for parents to think about that and to prepare their children.
Nah, that's a new thing for me. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. And I love the idea that, you know, you drop the seed, you keep dropping the seeds, and the kids pick up the seeds that they're ready to pick up. You know, it sprouts inside them when it's ready to sprout, right? But you keep dropping them, right?
Yes.
I think if you demystify it, I have a close friend who has, she's a mom, and she has one child through adoption, one child through donor conception. And her kids, they've talked about it all along. They've never wanted to know more because they know as much as they feel like they need to know.
Right.
So not every child is going to want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a mystery till they're 15, 16, and 17, of course, they're going to want to know more.
Then they're just set up for failure. Like, it's just not.
What Lisa just said reminds me, maybe you don't talk overly fondly about your donor being that amazing. They're just a regular person.
He's basically Santa Claus.
They're not Superman. You know?
He's the Easter Bunny.
I really believe that your perspective doesn't have to be the same as your kids. So if you say, you know, I think your donor is so fabulous because of blah, 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 your child will know that even if they do everything the same as you, they like pizza, you like pizza, they like to go bike riding, you like to go bike riding, whatever it is, they know there's one piece of them, whether it's 90% or 2%, that's connected someplace else. And you think this person, this place is fantastic, and that's inside of them. So you love all of them, not just the parts of them that belong to you. And so I think it's great to talk about your donor in positive ways. But as they approach searching, I think it is good to explore what they might be fantasizing about, how they may feel, what they're expecting, and to just kind of prepare them at that point when they're older that their donor is a human being. And we don't know if that person is going to be somebody that you want to be best friends with or not.
Lisa, can you address the concept of it shouldn't be your bio dad or your bio mom? I try really hard after talking to mental health professionals. I don't use the term mom for our donor at all.
I don't
because
either.
Mother is a verb. Father is a verb, right? Mm-hmm, so these, I can remember my littlest one was asking about their mom at one point in time. And our kids now, if they're like, oh no, we don't have a mom. Mm-hmm. We have two dads, right?
Right.
But those words, mom and dad, are really powerful words in our culture. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they should be ever used to describe the donor. But I will tell you, like at our pediatrician's office, our pediatrician would say, well, tell me about the mom in front of my kid, which like, yeah. Right? So
that hurts.
Language is important.
It is.
And
it
how
really
you
is.
Refer to these very special people who gave us some of the special cells that help daddy and papa have you is important.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Okay, we're doing a lot of talk about donor conception and all the things. And I have to share my special promo code that I have with y'all. And it's from the same cryobank that I used to create my family at. And I love them. And it's my favorite cryobank. And it's California Cryobank. They are a full-service sperm bank. And for over 45 years, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQIA+ clients create the family of their dreams. And I love them so much. And they are the number one sperm bank in the U.S. They ship to over 40 countries. They have one of the largest and most diverse selection of sperm donors. They're amazing. To learn more, you're going to visit cryobank.com and you're going to use code QUEERFAM. That's QUEERFAM. And you're going to get a free level 2 donor subscription to their catalog. It's bomb. It's amazing. Go look and see what they have and find the donor of your dreams. Y'all, here we go, making those babies. Let's do it.
Love is love.
We say donor. We always say donor. And my son is 5, so he's probably around the age that your kids were kind of asking about that. And he is right there. Why don't I have a dad? Well, Daniel has a dad. How come I don't have a dad? You know, so these questions are coming up a lot. And it's a constant, well, you don't have a dad, but you have a donor. And would you like me to pull the book out? You know, it's just, we can read the book right now. Do you have any questions about the donor? You know, Rose knows all about the donor. Would you like to talk to your sister about the donor? You know, and you have the same donor as your sister. You know, it's this constant, it's constant until he picks it. But he hasn't pulled that in yet, right? It hasn't sprouted in him yet. He's still a little confused about it, but we keep saying it.
And, it's still brewing inside of him.
Yeah, yeah.
But at some point, your child might say, I want to call my donor mom or dad. They might say that. And I think at that point, even though it might be hard for us, I think we have to let them do that because that is something that they need to work through themselves. They may need to hold on to it for a little while. Maybe they need to hold it onto it for a long while, or maybe they're just going through adolescence and this is a way of separating. You know, it's different for every child.
This is when I'm coming to you, Lisa. If this happens, I'm coming to you. We're having some sessions.
Kids develop names for lots of people in their lives, right? They might call grandma, you know, Emma or whatever they, you know, they make up names and they might want to call their donor, you know, make up a name for their donor. I think we have to kind of let our kids develop those names and, you know, and it might be hard because we're, you know, we're the ones who are getting up in the middle of the night and changing the diapers and burping them and paying for college or whatever it is. But I think our kids have to get through this identity formation on their own and try to figure out who they are in relationship to their parents and then to another set of genetics that they don't really know that well. Mm. You know, I know certainly with my 3 children, they have all different genetics and they all feel very differently about their birth parents. They all have very different relationships. And so, you know, I have to kind of honor each one's journey and they're not done yet. They're still, you know, young adults and they have a long way to go before they really kind of settle into how they feel. And so as they explore it, they have to just explore and I have to be there to support them and guide them if I can. So I can be there when they have those difficult moments, which they've had.
Right. It's an open line of communication.
Yeah.
I mean, Lisa brings up a really powerful topic that dovetails back into where you were talking about. I think any child of adoption, any donor conceived child, you know, is whether they do it publicly with their parents or they do it privately within themselves, has a different kind of pathway to adulthood and understanding who they are. And many of them probably do need help with that. And I think that, and I say this delicately to the people who have not shared or will not share and so on, I think that you consider it may be your responsibility as a parent to just understand that your young adult is probably going to need more. Mm. And it's not about how uncomfortable you are, but it's this precious little person that you love so much that you're going to do this uncomfortable thing for.
Right.
Right. So that when they're 22, 25, and they meet the person of their dreams, they can be like, well, you know what? My family's a little different.
Right. There's so much to unpack in this. This is why these conversations need to happen. This is why your book needed to happen, right? There's so much in this one topic, and we are doing our best to get it right. We really are, you know, but who knows? Who knows? I just recently, you know, had to add the whole donor sibling component to it because we hadn't really talked about donor siblings yet. And then I was like, oh, shit, she's seven and there's donor siblings. And I know, right. You know, I was like, oh, we got to add this. We got to add it now. We got to get in there.
You know? You got to plant that seed now.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, I don't want to betray her. Yeah. So these conversations need to happen so that we're not forgetting certain components to it. What you're doing is tremendous. And I love you too for it. I'm going to cry.
You know, it's a passion project. Mm-hmm. It is a project of the heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what motivates us as caregivers.
Exactly. Exactly. So tell us a little bit more about the book. Like, how is it put together? I mean, like, what are the chapters? What can you expect when you open your book?
I'm going to give a high level, but, you know, Lisa can go into more details about what's in each chapter. But, you know, I'm responsible for the medical comments and, you know, the genetics and things like that. But as I've said regularly and for years, the process of building a family through reproductive medicine is not really about the science. The science is pretty straightforward at this point. It's about the people and all the people you need to help you and the person that you create. So a lot of what's in the book is really from the position of an experienced mental health professional about the things you need to know beforehand, during, and after, and for your child.
So it's a bit of a guidebook for someone embarking on a donor conception path.
Yes. Is that fair to say? How-to.
Okay. This is amazing. This is what I needed. You know, like, I'm so happy with the donor I chose. I love my kids, so I wouldn't do it differently. But if I knew what I know now, I probably would maybe, I don't know. I don't want to say I would do it differently because I love my kids, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
That's why we wrote the book, because we both feel like we could have used more all of this information when we had our children. So we want to help other people have this information so they can have an easier journey than we had. It was you know, a struggle for both of us for all different reasons. So we just put our heart and soul into the book and talked about everything from just starting the journey to how to manage your stress, to how to understand this, you know, enormous medical process. I mean, you know, Mark sits down with people who are, you know, their head spinning, and he has to kind of sort this out for them, get them back to their 10th grade biology class and explain how, you know, everything works and try to help them at the same time. It's a big undertaking. And so we did our best to try to explain in very comfortable terms how to get through this process in the easiest way possible and really to have the best outcome, which is a healthy baby and a good life together as a family.
And I think that, like, this book is not just for people who are starting. Lisa has done a lot of talking to not only donor conceived people, but patients and so on. So the second part of the book is for people who already have donor conceived children. So, and this book this book is for our community, but really anybody who needs to use a donor, right? And it is an inclusive book, and it goes from, like, that little place in your mind where you're going to have a baby to choosing a donor, to having an embryo, to having a baby, maybe with a surrogate or not. And then, you know, coaching your child to adulthood and making sure, you know, they're their best selves.
Yeah.
So, like, the developmental aspects of this from the parent to be to the child is in this book. So there are hundreds of thousands of donor conceived people out there. Right. And they all have parents. And this book can be a resource to anybody within the community, whether you're starting or you already have that baby.
Well, you sold me. I don't have a copy yet, but I'm going to read it, especially the
second. We'll have to send it to you.
We're going to wrap this up, but I just want to let both of you know, I recently found out who our donor is randomly through actually another donor sibling's parent. I know who it is. I've seen more pictures, and he has said he is open to being contacted now.
You just gave me chills.
Yeah, it was a lot to take in. You know, and my wife and I, we have to have discussions about it because we're not on the same complete same page regarding how much contact is good, is any kind, you know, so there's lots of conversations that have to go with that. But then also, once I learned this information and once I had a new picture of him as an adult, I said, shit, I got to tell the kids. Like, I have to disclose this. I have to, the next time my daughter brings up the donor, I did. I said, you know what? I have more information about him. If you want to see it, you know, and we went into it and it has now become a new part of the conversation. And she now knows that he has said he's open to being contacted if we want to. Is that something you think you'd want to do? Nah. Okay. All right. Well, it's there if you want
to. Yeah. You popped the bubble though.
I did. And it was so scary. Yeah. And I don't know that I'm handling. So I need your book, Lisa. But I also have you on text, Lisa. So I reach out.
Yes, my mom's
good. Not everybody has Lisa on text like I do. However, I'm stumbling through it, you know. So, but I did feel strongly that, all right, any information I have, they need to be privy to. Mm.
And your wife didn't feel the same way?
She was hesitant at first because she wasn't hesitant about actually telling the kids because she agreed with me that we need to disclose the information we have, you know, in a way that is not like, whoa, you know, it's just nice and easy. But about meeting him, she is a little more hesitant than I am. It's, So that's a work in progress. But if my kids want to meet him, okay, we're going to figure out how we do it in the safe way. And then I have to manage expectations. Right. It's a whole thing. You guys are freaking me out.
It's going to be okay, Jamie.
I know. It is. It's going to be fine. It's going to be, everything's going to be okay.
They've have all those seeds sprouting in them already.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, like that's the thing. These are roller coasters.
Yeah.
They just are inherently roller coasters. And you need all the help. Like you said, Mark, we need all the help we can get with the whole journey, the whole package, right? And it doesn't end. It just doesn't end. So I just love the two of you. Put the book up. Say the book's name. Tell us, as we're doing the interview, it's not out. So when is it, when does it come out?
Comes out November 14th. It's available via on Amazon right now for pre-sale. It's also on Barnes & Noble. And, you know, I think that this is a kind of the first of its kind book, just because we're in it.
Yeah.
We're telling our stories in it as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot. This is a lot. So just doing this podcast, you know, obviously you can see I've gotten emotional.
You did, Mark. You're going to make me cry.
It touches on a lot of things for families to know about.
It's important stuff, huh? Important stuff.
Very important.
Oh my God. It really is. I appreciate you writing this book and these conversations. There should be more books like this, obviously. You know, these conversations are the crux of our families here at this point. Many of our families, not all of them, but many. What's the title again? So everybody knows. Building Your Family, The Complete Guide to Donor Conception. Go pick it up because I think by the time this episode airs, it will be out. I think I'm trying to time it that way or that week at least, something like that.
Yes, or if you could pre-order and if you like the book, please write a review. That would really help us. We want to get this book to as many people as possible and Amazon likes it when you have more reviews. So
they do.
The Amazon. Yes.
Right. Yeah, we gotta bow to those gods. We really do. And tell everybody where they can find your professional services each.
Sure. I'm the medical director at Illume Fertility. We have, you know, offices in Connecticut and New York. I've also, you know, I see patients from all across the globe looking at family building because of this wonderful Zoom environment that we're all comfortable with. And I think it's important for people to know that, you know, building a modern family through donor conception, perhaps egg donation and or sperm donation. You don't always have to come to the office. There's a lot of things that we can do, you know, proactively from afar or with remote monitoring and so on. So yeah, so you can find me in mostly in Norwalk, Connecticut, but you know, where I'm in the Ethernet and I'm happy to talk and help anybody who needs help all across the rainbow. Everybody's welcome to me.
Even the straights. And that's I-L-U-M-E. Even the straights.
Even.
We don't discriminate.
I-L-L-U-M-E, correct.
I-L-L, double L. I-L-L-U-M-E, so check out.
Fertility, yeah.
Illume Fertility. And then Lisa, where can people reach out?
Familybuilding.net. And we offer, I've got something for everyone. If you want to watch a video about these issues, if you want to learn more about your children later, if you want to learn more about surrogacy, I've got lots of information on my website and also a link to the book. And I forgot to mention that if somebody is interested in getting a video program for free, they're usually sold for almost $200. They can get the program for free if they buy the book ahead of time and put the code in, then they can get the video program for free. So they could just go on my website, familybuilding.net, press the book link, and they can do that right there. And also my podcast is Donor Conception Conversations.
I love it. Go listen to the podcast. And also, if you are someone at home or in your car, wherever you're listening on your run, who thinks they have a really interesting or just wants to talk about your donor-conceived story or your donor-conceived child, you should reach out to Lisa and
absolutely and
be on Lisa's podcast because these are the conversations, y'all. Yes. So reach out to Lisa. Thank you, Jamie. Reach out to Mark. Mm-hmm. Make those babies. Because they're beautiful.
Making babies.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful.
Jamie, thank you so much for this. It's really a joy to talk to you. And you know, you are also a caregiver. I think this podcast has helped many people. And I always learn something when I listen to your podcasts. I really enjoy them. And the laughter and the heart and the real facts come out. So it's nice. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you. Thank you. That means everything to hear from you too.
I echo Mark's words. And, you know, I think you're fantastic, Jamie. And I'm so glad that you're out there too. So thank you for having us on today. And thank you for helping us get our message out into the world, because I think we all agree we want to help people have an easier journey.
Yes, agreed. Thank you for coming. I love you both so much. And this isn't the end. You are a resident doctor and our resident therapist. So get ready.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank
Beautiful.
You both.
All right.
Thank you, Jamie.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QUEERFAM, Q-U-E-E-R-F-A-M, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I did. If you did like it, go ahead and listen to another one. We have, or watch another one. We have so many for you to choose from. So just go click on one and do it. And also don't forget that I do have merchandise. So if you love this show and you want to represent queer families in all our goodness, go to tpublic.com/thequeerfamilypodcast and look at all the designs I have there and put them on any of the products that are in the store. They're all beautiful. And I'd love you to wear some of our merchandise. So just go ahead and do that. And thanks so much for tuning in yet again. And please keep tuning in. I'll see you next time. Thanks again.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.